The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 25, Text Number 48, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 19th, 2010, in Mumbai, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 4, Chapter 25, Text Number 48. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Nalani, nalani cha prag, dvaravikatra nirmite, avaduta sakatavyam, pishayang yati saravam. Nalani, nalani cha prag, dvaravikatra nirmite avaduta sakasthavyam vishayam yati saravam. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Similarly, in the East, there were two sets of gates named Nalani and Nalini. And these were also constructed in one place. Through these gates, the king, accompanied by a friend named Avadutta, used to go to the city of Saurabha. Purport. The two gates named Nalini and Nalini are the two nostrils. The living entity enjoys these two gates with the help of different avadutas or airs, which constitute the breathing process. Through these gates, the living entity goes to the town of Saurabha or Arama. In other words, the nostrils, with the help of their friend the air, enjoy various aromas in the material world. Nalini and Nalini are the pipes of the nostrils through which one inhales and exhales, enjoying the aroma of sense pleasure. Vandeham Shri Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditamscha. So, what is the heavy reality? It's heavy. We're prisoners right now. We are the prisoners of these senses, the nose, the eyes, the ear, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. We are prisoners. Why are we prisoners? Well, we wanted to make a little experiment of what it would be like if we were the supreme enjoyers. But that's not our position. We try to be something that we are not. It's called unnatural. You see, we are not meant to be the enjoyers. If a fish tries to become a creature of the land, will he succeed? No, he will be a failure. If a creature of the land tries to become a creature of the sea, will he be successful? No, he will drown. You see? So our problem is we are trying to be that which we are not. That is the problem. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of knowing who you are, jnana, and being who you are, vijnana. That's all. It's a simple, natural thing. I mean, who would want to be something that they're not? Would you like to be somebody that you're not? Is it? The natural thing is to be who you are. But we have a society which is training us that your happiness is enjoy through your nose, enjoy through your eyes. That is not our enjoyment. Our enjoyment is to give pleasure to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. The leaf, if he tries to enjoy separately, you see, he will not be successful. If the bodily part tries to enjoy separately, he will not be successful. I may think, well, my hand needs some nutrition, so I will just stick it into the rice and get that nutrition out of the rice. Will that be successful? I can squeeze that rice all day long, squeezing, squeezing, squeezing. How much nutrition will that hand get from that rice? Nothing. Nada. Nothing. You see? But if that hand will simply give the rice to the stomach, then immediately, not only the hand gets nourished, but every part of the body gets nourished. So this process of Krishna consciousness is a simple process of how to enjoy unlimitedly. Because we have experience, the more that we can give pleasure to others, that is our happiness. You see? A miser, he cannot be happy. It's interesting, the English word miser, note the connection between the word miser and miserable. It's the same M-I-S-E-R. Miser means, as you think, what Papa would say, miser means miserable. So the more you think about yourself, the only you will be miserable, I guarantee it. I don't care if you have money, I don't care if you have crores of rupees, I don't care if you're powerful, famous, good-looking, whatever you may be, if you're a miser, you are going to be M-I-S-E-R-A-A-B-L-E, miserable. That's a fact. The more we can give loving service to others, we become happy and satisfied. Therefore, if there is a way that we can give loving service to every single living entity throughout all of existence, that is the supreme happiness. And that, my dear devotees, that is called Krishna consciousness. That is the name of our society also, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, you see. It is a movement which is engaging the members in an activity which brings the highest happiness to each and every member and gives the highest happiness to every single living entity throughout the entire existence. So what could be more auspicious and what could be more delicious than Krishna consciousness? I mean, where else can you find something like this? You can search all over the universe for a pleasure like this. You can go all the way to Brahma Loka, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narjana Mamupechitu Konteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. You can go all the way to the highest planet looking for anything like this. You won't find anything like this. Krishna says, Paramam Nirvanam in the Bhagavad Gita. So the Buddhists, they are interested in nirvana. But that is minimized by this Krishna consciousness. Actually, I was doing some research in Prabhupada in the Vedabase, and I found out that nirvana actually is going to Maheshdham, the intermediary area between the spiritual world and the material world. The Buddhists, who attain nirvana, they go to Maheshdham. And the impersonalists also, you see. We are not interested in that marginal position between the material and spiritual worlds, even though you get temporary relief from the pinches of the modes of material nature, because the tendency to be the enjoyer is still there. And after due course of time, and floating in that Brahman, what happens? Ruya Krishna Parang Padam Sada Padanchito Nadakta Yushman Angriya. Again, Panti Adho, they fall down into this material existence. Why? Because they have no attachment for Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So, this attachment for the lotus feet of Krishna, it is the greatest thing. Somehow or other, if we can just get shelter in those lotus feet, then our lives become perfect. Samashrutaye palapallava plavang mahatpatang punyajushomarare babambudir vatsaparang param padam 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 yagabatam natesham. You see? I love Vyasadeva's poetry. I mean, he can write circles around Shakespeare. Incredible poetry. Just see the rhythm, the beauty in that verse. Samashrutaye palapallava plavam mahatpadam punyashomarare bhavambadir vatsaparang padam 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 yadvabhatam natesham. Shakespeare can't do anything like that. Incredible poetry. You want to read enlivening literature, then read the Bhagavatam. You see. In this material world, everybody's looking for really exciting, beautiful literature. They will find it. That's why this book distribution program is the most important program, because once people read Prabhupada's books, this whole world becomes changed. Nowhere can you find anything like this. If the translation goes, for those who take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and who is famous for annihilating that rascal demon named Muda. This vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to Vatsapadam, the amount of water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. You see? So for such persons, are they caught up in karma chakra? No. Their aim is param padam, Vaikuntha realm, Golok. You see? Not that place, padam padam, yadvabhatam natesham. Not that place where there's trouble at every step, you see. Terrorists, disease, financial difficulty, environmental problems. I mean, it's just so many problems in the world going on right now. I don't see how anybody in their right mind can think they can enjoy this place. I mean, somebody has to really be deluded if they think they can enjoy this material world. They have to really be big time deluded person. You see, there's no happiness. It's simply hope against hope. I want to enjoy this material world. Good luck. You're not going to make it. I don't care how big, successful you become, you're not going to make it. You are going to be miserable, Mr. Miser. You have to give up your miserly attitude of thinking that you're the center of the universe, of thinking that you're God, of thinking that everything is for your pleasure. It's not for your pleasure. Simply give your loving service to that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. And then you will enjoy equally with them. So we have a very powerful, pure message given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We have to guard it very carefully. The great sages and authorities, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, have very carefully guarded this pure Vaishnava Siddhanta throughout the ages. There are many times in Vaishnava history when opposing forces came and tried to muddle the philosophy, mixing it in with sense gratification, mixing it in with Sahajism and so many other things. So we have to be careful. Prabhupada warned us that after the Acharya leaves, then the disorder returns. When a powerful Acharya manifests on the planet, he creates order, you see. But after his disappearance, chaos ensues. But those who are sincere followers of the great Acharyas, you see, they work diligently, dedicating their entire life to keep disorder from ruining the powerful, pure message of the great Acharyas, you see. So in our ISKCON, we have to be careful. I'm seeing now in our society, Sahajism, sense gratification, compromising the principles. You see, these things are trying to creep into our society. That, well, if I'm married, you know, it's recommended to have sex only once a month if I want to make my wife pregnant. But it's not really required, it's just recommended. This idea has now entered into our movement, you see. This idea that some people that Vaidhi Bhakti is, you know, let me just go to, you know, Vaidhi Bhakti is low class. I want to go straight to Raganuga, you see. Radhe, Radhe. No, we have to know how to approach Mother Radharani, you see. She is a mother. Not that, oh, I want to be a Sakhi, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. We have to understand what is the process of actually purifying our consciousness. Prabhupada has clearly given us this process. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, chant at least 16 rounds a day. Is that enough? No, there's one other thing that he always wanted to be spoken about in the initiation ceremonies, and that is the 10 offenses. So simply chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles strictly, that's not enough. We have to also avoid those 10 offenses. You see? Because otherwise, you can follow the four principles and chant 16 rounds for 16 million lifetimes and stay in this material world if you're still committing nama-parab. So we really have to vouch very carefully the quality of our rounds and the quality of our consciousness throughout the day. You see, we have to be cultivating the mood of pure devotional service while we're in the middle of aggressively pushing forward this revolution to save the fallen souls, while we're in the process of worshiping the deities very gorgeously and beautifully, while we're in the process of making beautiful kirtan to liven our hearts and attract everyone, all these activities that are so wonderful, we have to remember, what are they for? What is the ultimate purpose of all these activities? To cultivate pure devotional service. And that's the meaning of our prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare my dear Mother Radharani, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your pure devotional service. We're begging to be purely engaged in bhakti 24 hours a day. It's the most important thing. Sometimes we see devotees compromising the principles. I was very shocked one time to see a temple president violate one of my female disciples in violation of our principles. And I realized at that time that how important it is to emphasize to everywhere in this movement pure devotional service, because that's where the nectar is. We don't need sense gratification to be happy. All we need is pure devotional service. So they have, in the U.S., they have an annual festival called the Festival of Inspiration. So after this incident with my disciple was violated, I told the devotees, I want to give seminar on pure devotional service because I realized this is the most important thing. They said, no, we don't want. They said, I'm known for expertise in using the internet for preaching. So they said, well, you can do a Sankarshan Prabhu. You can do an internet seminar. That'll be very good. We'd like you to hear a seminar on internet. But pure devotional service, no. I was shocked. But then I thought, well, let me bargain with them. There's a little diplomacy. I said, well, I tell you what, Prabhus. If you let me do pure devotional service, I'll also do internet seminar. I said, okay. So I gave two seminars, one on internet preaching and one on pure devotional service. Guess which one the devotees liked most and they're most attracted to. And this is good news. Devotees are more attracted to pure devotional service than they were into how to preach through the internet. Because you can go anywhere and learn how to use the internet. But where can you learn pure devotional service? Where outside of Srila Prabhupada's movement can you learn how to capture Krishna as your personal property in this lifetime? Where can you learn that? Nowhere else. You see, even the other Gaudiyas, they mix it in with Sahajism and this and that. You see, Prabhupada is the unique person who is showing us how to achieve pure bhakti right now, right here in this lifetime. Prabhupada directly ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Well, I know what my duty is. It's just simply being a recognized preacher in this movement. That's not enough. Oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, we're really inspired by your lectures or this or that. Oh, you know, doing some... The real goal that I have, that Prabhupada gave me, is I have to become so pure that I can see Krishna face to face. That's an instruction Prabhupada gave me. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu viloka yanti yang shama shundarama chintya gunas varupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So I know that in the midst of all these duties that I'm doing to try to please Srila Prabhupada, that I have to be purifying my consciousness. I have to be purifying my consciousness. That's his order. So this is what Prabhupada wants. He wants that we should all become full inheritors of this Krishna consciousness. That we should become pure devotees. That's what Prabhupada wants. Completely pure, Shuddha Bhaktas. That is Prabhupada's desire. So even though now we are struggling, as we're reading here with the nose, smelling aromas, we're struggling with the eyes that want to see beautiful young girls. You see, we're struggling with these indriyas. That's a fact. Right now, as Sri Maharaj so aptly stated, and here I am struggling. You see, that is our position right now. We are struggling, we are battling it out with these indriyas, these senses. So, if there's a war, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to win the war, right? So Prabhupada said that becoming Krishna conscious is declaring war on Maya. So how do you win a war? You have to fight very expertly. You have to fight very intelligently, with great determination, with great enthusiasm and great patience. You can never give up. A powerful kshatriya never gives up. You can cut off one arm, you'll fight with the other arm. Cut off both arms, he'll fight with his feet. Cut off his legs, he'll fight with his teeth. He won't stop fighting until he's dead. You see? So we have to be like them. You see? Fighting Vaishnavas. Not fighting with each other. No. But fighting against Maya, you see. That's why Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, what was that wonderful instruction he gave? The morning duty. Every morning you take those shoes and beat your mind 100 times. And in the evening, well, now you go to the broom closet and grab that thick, heavy broom. Beat your mind 100 times with that broom in the evening. See? Why? Because mind is rascal. The mind keeps wanting to go to this material thing, that material thing. Women, money, prestige. You see, the mind is a rascal. It's like we were recently in Vrindavan, we went to the Radha-Damodara temple. I took a party there. And one of our members of the party, he had glasses, and some little monkey came, took the glasses right off his face and jumped up on the wall. And the monkey wanted some bribe before he would turn the glasses. So I realized that actually our minds are like monkeys, mischievous monkeys. And they want to steal away the vision of us. The mind wants to steal away the vision. It's like a mischievous monkey. So we cannot let those monkeys steal away our vision, you see. We cannot let that monkey mind steal away our vision. We have to be very vigilant to keep that mind under control. Not let the mind take control. Keep the mind always under control. If I start to think some bad thought about a devotee, you see, the mind now is trying to pull me into Vaishnava Parab. If some bad thought about a devotee enters my mind, what do I have to do? But my dear mind, Prabhupada sees this devotee as a great saintly person for all the service he's done, you see. Just as we have Shastra Chakshus, we also have Prabhupada Chakshus. How would Prabhupada see this devotee? You see, would he simply see the nonsense the devotee had done? Or would he see all the wonderful dedicated service for so many years of that devotee rendered? So every time the mind starts to think some bad thought about a devotee, you think, well, how would Prabhupada see that devotee? How would Prabhupada see him, you see? So in this way, if we can not allow the mind to go off the track, keep it always fixed very nicely in the proper consciousness, then what does Krishna say in Gita? For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is reached, you see. Practically, they've already connected with... Once your mind is controlled, practically you're already in contact with the super soul. So this is very important. We all must be yogis to bring our minds completely under control. Yato yato nishchalati manaschan chalamastaram tatastatam nayam nyaitat adnanyavasham nayam. From wherever the mind wanders, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So the yogis, it's a little tough for them. They have to do it mechanically. You see. It's a little difficult. Okay, mind, come back to this point. But for the devotees, it's actually much easier. Much easier process of controlling the mind. This is wonderfully described by our Rupa Goswami. Tunde tundavali vriting vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambadi gatayate kunar vide vraspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyan virmitai krishne tivarnadavai. You know that slok? Oh, it's so wonderful slok. This is the slok that Prabhupada told George Harrison to make a popular song out of it. It's a wonderful slok. It goes like this. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate that Krishna, it dances in my mouth. And when it is dancing in the mouth, I want to have millions of mouths. And when that sound vibration comes from the mouth and into my ears, it is so loaded with unlimited oceans of nectar. I want to have millions and billions of years so I can capture at least some of that nectar. And then when those names dance in the courtyard of my heart, oh, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental ecstasy. You see. So for a devotee, it's much easier. You just got to fall in love with the name. Just like you might fall in love with a girl, you know. What is it? Just some rotting bag of mucus, bile, air, stool? Well, you know what I mean. Talking about the body, but the name of Krishna is more beautiful than the most beautiful woman, the most beautiful this, anything. It's the most powerful, beautiful, everything. The name is everything. So all we have to do is somehow or other fall in love with that name, Krishna. And then the mind is completely conquered immediately. You may say, well, what does Rupa Goswami mean anyway? Millions of mouths and millions of ears. What is he talking about? I'll give you an example to help you understand. Let's say one of these brahmacharis, he has a really good day on Sankirtan. He breaks all the world records for book distribution. And he comes back to the temple and we say, Prabhu, we want to reward you. And we bring him into the courtyard here in the Darshan Mandap. He says, here we are, Prabhu. We got 10 million gulab jamuns here. Now enjoy. Here's your reward, Prabhu. 10 million gulab jamuns. Now have a good evening. Well, Prabhu, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but maybe 2 or 3 or 10 if I really push it. But 10 million gulab jamuns, I can't enjoy that many gulab jamuns. But if you can give me 10 million mouths and 10 million bellies, yeah, then I can really enjoy those 10 million gulab jamuns. So in this way, Rupa Goswami is saying, my one little mouth and my one little set of ears, there's so much nectar in this Krishna that I just can't get all of it with this mouth and these ears. So please, if Krishna, if you can just give me millions of mouths and billions, trillions, quadrillions of ears, you get the idea, then I can really maybe get a little infinitesimal drop of a drop of a drop of a drop of a drop of that unlimited nectar which is available in Krishna. So in this way, for a devotee, it's not difficult. You just got to fall in love with the name, Prabhu. All you got to do, fall in love with the name, Krishna. And then all your problems are solved, you see. These names are so powerful. It's like the name Prabhupada. That's such a wonderful name. I remember when I was a hippie at the time, back in Austin in 71, and one of those Hare Krishna Swamis came to town. His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami showed up. Actually, I'd been praying to God to bless me how I could become His perfect servant. I think He heard my prayer, and that's why Vishnu Jana Swami was inspired to come to Austin. It was part of it. But anyway, it was amazing seeing this Hare Krishna Swami doing His preaching. And none of us had ever seen Prabhupada, but you know, he had. He'd associated with Prabhupada a lot, and he would tell us about Prabhupada. And one lady, she had a little baby girl, and this little baby girl also heard about Prabhupada. And it was amazing. This baby, just by hearing about Prabhupada, was... I'm going to wait for the bell to finish. I get earaches from that thing. So anyway, this baby would just go out of ecstatically would say, Prabhupada. When I heard this little baby going, Prabhupada, I was going, wow, this is pretty amazing. I don't know what's going on here, but this is amazing. Here's a little baby calling out the name of Prabhupada in transcendental ecstasy. So there's something really special about these transcendental names, you see. Prabhupada is so powerful just that he, by calling out his name, you can directly contact him. You can directly feel Prabhupada's presence just by calling out his holy name. You see. And Krishna, Same thing. Of course, it's not that Prabhupada is the Supreme Person, but I'm saying Krishna gives us in the remembrance of the great acharyas, especially in the remembrance of the greatest of all acharyas, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, He blesses us that simply by uttering their names we can feel our connection and get the blessings of these great, great personalities. So the name of Krishna also has that full shakti. The name of Prabhupada, the name of Krishna, these are very, very cherished, special sound vibrations which will enlighten us and deliver us, liberate us once and for all from the cycle of birth and death. So I'm going a little over time, but I'm not going to go much further here because there's a schedule. But if there's maybe one question, it's okay. One question is okay. In some temple, once 9 o'clock comes, they yank me off the Vyasa Sun. But is there a time I can do one? Two or three? Okay. Now, my hearing has gotten so bad with old age that somebody will have to come up and stand by my ear and tell me the question. Who wants to volunteer to be my human hearing aid? You can do that. So somebody say the question and then hear. Even with a microphone, I won't hear it. Someone say, give me their question, and this Prabhu here will be my human hearing aid to tell me in my ear. Okay, any questions? Be happy, even if you have a very difficult question to answer, I welcome all questions. Controversial, non-controversial, whatever it may be. Throw them at me. Yeah, give him the mic so everybody can hear the question, then you can tell me his question.
When Buddhists who go for Nirvana,
yeah,
are impersonalists, they end up there.
Yeah.
So you said that even when they go there, their tendency to enjoy still remains.
They go there,
tendency to enjoy still remains in Nirvana also. Buddhists, they go to Vaishnava.
Yeah, Prabhupada mentions that in one lecture, yeah.
And then you quoted this verse.
Aruya Krishna, yeah. They don't stay there forever. Bloop, they fall down again, yeah.
This Mahesh Dham is same as impersonal Brahmajyoti?
Is Mahesh Dham same as impersonal Brahmajyoti?
I never knew about that, but if you like, I can send you the lecture that Prabhupada talks about. It was brand new information for me. I've been around this movement for almost 40 years, and it was brand new information. Probably it's brand new for you too. I was surprised, but I was doing some research on the term nirvana in the Veda base, and there it was. It's quite interesting. So if you like, you can give me your, I can give you my email address, and you know, you can write me, and I'll give you the exact lecture if you want to study it in detail. All I know is Prabhupada explains it that way. That's all I can say.
It was completely new information for me also.
You stay here. Okay, what is it?
It was completely new information for me also.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing piece of information that the Buddhists go to Maheshdham. I wonder, what does a Buddhist have to go to do with Lord Shiva? I mean, these are interesting questions. But it's stated by our authority, Srila Prabhupada. So we know it's a fact. And it'd be interesting to learn more about it. But I don't advise going there to find out. You become the pure devotee and go to Krishna Loka, and on the way you can see Mahesh Dham and you know, understand it as you pass over it. I wouldn't advise you go there. You just pass on the way there, you can check it out as you're going by it. Okay, any other questions?
It's not a question exactly. Just to thank you. You may not know me, but at the Crossminds and Festival here in Mumbai some years ago, you were there and those assistants who had a register with your email address for email preaching, and I had put in my brother Gopala Krishna's name on that, and my brother's name I had entered in that register which your assistants gave you for email preaching. I And even though I had been telling my brother about Krishna consciousness for 10 years, there wasn't much change. But when he contacted you over a period of just 3 months, he chanted Hare Krishna regularly.
His name is his brother, Gopal. He came in touch with you in the Cross Modern Festival.
Ah.
So, previous to that, he was not becoming devotee. But coming in touch with you, he very quickly took devotional service.
Well, that's very. I'm very happy if I can serve somebody by helping them to become Krishna conscious. I take that as Prabhupada's great mercy upon me. I'm very happy to hear that good news. Thank you very much. Okay, anything else? There's a Mataji back there. Fighting with each other?
No. Fighting with Maya.
How do we successfully defeat Maya? Is that your question?
My question is that even when we come to Krishna consciousness, yes, and a society where we are born together, and our mission is to preach, but yes, we still struggle against each other.
Still struggling with fighting with each other?
Yes.
Okay.
And
yes.
Yes,
I have the solution how to stop fighting with each other. It's from the Adi Purana. Wonderful. Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta shtate jana mad bhaktanam te ye bhakta ste me bhakta tamamata. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. He says, my dear son of Prita, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, my dear Mataji, the answer to your question is, we have to become devotees of the devotees. You see? If I'm not devotee of the devotees, that means I'm rascal. Krishna does not accept my so-called devotion. I am called Kanishta Adhikari as a concession. Actually, I'm not even Adhikari. I'm not a devotee. But we give concession. All right, you're a devotee. Kanishta devotee, you see. But actually, if I'm not a devotee of the devotees, I'm not a devotee. So therefore, we have to learn how to honor and revere each and every devotee. Within our hearts, I should worship every Vaishnava. You see, every Vaishnava, just as Krishna is worshipable, every Vaishnava is worshipable. You see. So we have to learn how, within our hearts, to honor, respect, and worship every single devotee. And this is for our own survival. Because unless you learn how to worship and love and respect all the devotees, you'll never get connected with Krishna. You'll never taste the nectar. So we just have to learn how to appreciate every devotee. Every devotee has some great quality. That's why he's here. Every devotee has some redeeming, wonderful quality. So in every devotee, even the gross neophyte who have so many bad habits, we have to see those wonderful qualities of the soul and appreciate them, you see. In this way, by becoming devotee of the devotees, then there will be no fighting. It will be what Prabhupada wanted, a Vaikuntha atmosphere in every temple, you see. I have many devotees in this movement that I worship within my heart. Within my heart. It's like one godbrother in Atlanta, Ballabhadra Bhattacharya. Just when I say his name, it's like the sweetest nectar for me. It reminds me of that song by Narottam. It says, Ramachandra Sangai, Ramachandra Sanga Mage Narottama Das. I am always hankering for that Sangha, that association of Ramchandra Chakravarti. So we all have to find devotees like that within this movement, that I'm always hankering for this devotees association. Every one of us has to find at least one or two devotees that we can always feel, oh, I just want to have that devotees association. You see, this is a very important thing. Narottam is showing, you see, I'm always hankering for that Ramachandra Sangha. When will I again see my beloved Prabhu, Ramachandra Chakravarti, you see? In this way. He wasn't talking about his guru, you see. Not only for guru, but we must have within the devotees also, you see. If I only worship my guru and no one else, I know one godbrother who was like that. When I joined this movement, there was never a single word I ever heard anybody speak against the GBC. No one ever say anything bad about GBC. But I was shocked. This devotee, he made a joke about the initials GBC. He was putting down the GBC. And then he went for a meeting with Prabhupada that I only want to hear from you. But then it turned out he didn't want to hear from Prabhupada either. Actually, he was keeping mustache as an initiated devotee. And they were arguing. But Prabhupada was wondering, why are you keeping mustache? You see. He said, well, Prabhupada, you had a mustache when you were a householder. Prabhupada said, that was before my diksha. Some devotees now, they want to keep mustache and beard. This is not part of Prabhupada's line, you see. Prabhupada's line is clean face, no mustache, no beard. This is Prabhupada's standing for our society. So anyway, he was going on and on complaining about the devotees. You know what instruction he got from Prabhupada? It's heavy. Prabhupada said, just go earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of this movement. Get out of here. You see. He only wanted to hear from Prabhupada. Actually, didn't even want to hear from Srila Prabhupada. So if I really love my spiritual master, if I really love Srila Prabhupada, that means I must love the devotees also. You see. So anyway, I don't want to go too long. It's a schedule, but this is a very important thing. Just like I'm always thinking of my beloved Prabhu here, Brajhari Prabhu. I love him very much. I'm always thinking wonderful thoughts about him. And I'm always happy to come back here and get his Sangha. You see. So in this way, if we can develop loving relationships with devotees, you see, that will save us. That will save us. Okay, we'll stop here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.